United Church in Sydney Mines. I'm Reverend Nick Phillips, and in today's message, we are completing our three-part series on the power of forgiveness. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, we do want to be more like you. We want you in our hearts. We want your peace and love in our lives. So, Lord, as we gather around your message today, may your words be written upon our hearts. May you be our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've spent the last number of weeks looking at the importance and the power of forgiveness. We remember that forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Forgiveness is not the same as trusting. We learned about the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual impact withholding forgiveness has on our bodies. We've also learned that Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has forgiven us before we've ever had the chance to do anything wrong. So we must be willing to do the same. We must be willing to forgive. In fact, remember that Jesus commands us to forgive. All along, I've been promising we would finally get to the ultimate point, the steps needed to forgiveness, and here we are. These steps are helpful. We can't skip over any of them, or else we'll still end up trapped in that in the negativity of being unforgiving. Each step in the process is it part of the process of receiving the healing of God in our lives. Forgiveness is not for the other person. In fact, it is for us, for our own physical, spiritual, and emotional health. So I'm going to jump right into the steps today because there are a number of them. So you may want to keep track. At the end, I'll hopefully give you a helpful memory tool that will help you remember the steps that I'm explaining today. So the first step is to ask God to forgive you for not forgiving the other. This may seem like a bit of an odd place to start. If we're going to be reliant on God through this process, then we need to go to Him first and confess our wrongdoings. But we also can't make excuses while we're doing it. We can't go to God in prayer and say, "Well, God, I'm sorry I haven't forgiven Joe Smith, but you know he's a jerk and he moved away, so no, that doesn't work." The proper way to go to God in prayer is to say, "God, forgive me for not forgiving Joe Smith. I repent of my sin and ask for you to forgive me." And that's it. That's all there really is to the first step, sort of. The thing is, we need to remember that we are opening ourselves to God, so we need to be humble about it. We need to really mean it. And so often our pride gets in the way of that first step. We might be thinking to ourselves, "Why should I do this? Why do I need to do this? It's not my fault." Pride can also cause us to think that we're the victim, which is not always the case. Pride can also make us think that the other person is not worthy of being forgiven. The thing is, that's not true either. Jesus died to forgive us all. I know I don't deserve it, but Jesus has forgiven me for all the nasty stuff I've done in my life. And I know He's going to forgive Joe Smith too. So I might as well get on board and forgive him as well. And also, if I hold on to that, if I hold on to the anger and the bitterness, is that right? Is that what's supposed to happen? Do two wrongs make a right? Of course not. Pride does nasty things in our head that we use to validate our righteousness over other people. And of course, that's not right either. So when we pray for our forgiveness, We pray for forgiveness of our unforgiveness. We need to be humble. We need to be able to open our hearts to what God may reveal to any of the pride or anything else we have hidden inside. So that's the first step. We must choose to forgive and work with God in that forgiveness. The second step is a short one, but it also comes with its own baggage. We must stop rehearsing the event over and over again. We need to stop punishing the offender. And this has to be a conscious choice. In other words, stop talking about it. Because if we keep talking about it, it keeps it alive. But if we stop talking about it, then it loses its power, it loses its influence, and we stop punishing the other person. How can we forgive someone if we keep telling the story over and over again to punish the other person? Sadly, though, we can't look to the news to help us in this one, because that's what it feels like the news is a lot of the time. People rehearsing stories over and over again to seeking to punish the offender instead of seeking forgiveness. Those are sad, sad stories. And we've had a prominent one here over the last number of months. The third step is to listen to God to see what He is telling you about the other person. When we do this, God may reveal to us something about that other person we did not know that may have contributed to what happened. God may help us to learn compassion for the other person. And in the same moment, take away the bitterness. When God does this in this part of the process, we may be actually moved to feel like we want to forgive that other person, although we may still struggle to do it. The fourth step is to ask God if there's anything we have done to contribute to the problem. Maybe not. Maybe we were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it's always good to check. Because even if we had a very small part to play in it, we need to own it, we need to confess it, and repent of it. And if you find yourself stuck in this part of the process, realizing that you've had a role to play in it, I have a whole other tool that would be another whole sermon series on how we can deal with this particular step if you're struggling. Step five is to ask God what He wants to share with us specifically about the issue or the event. This is where God will reveal something about our own lives and about the situation that happened where He is at work. We may even receive some personal guidance about what we should do. In other words, we're asking God, where are you in all of this? And we let Him tell us where He is. I was at a prayer meeting a number of years ago, and we were told we're going to pray for someone within our circle of influence. That is, you know, family, friends, people at church, people at school, people at work, whatever, someone you see on a fairly regular basis. A name came to me fairly quickly, and I've known this person for a very long time, and since I became a pastor, our relationship had changed. He's not a church person, yet we had always been quite close. But now it seems we're not quite as close as we used to be. Even though I still see him on a semi-regular basis. So I was going to pray for him that he would come to know the Lord as I have come to know the Lord. Surely if he knew the Lord, our problems would be solved. As I was praying, though, God revealed to me that it wasn't him that changed, but I changed. And not only that, but my attitude towards him changed. He never did quite get why I became a pastor, or even why I became a Christian. He never could quite figure it out. But it was now clear to me that I did not use patience or love whenever we talked, especially around matters of faith or matters of the heart. It was not his values that changed, it was mine. And my attitude toward my friend was not as loving as it had been before I became a Christian. And to be quite honest, I was rude at times. And he wouldn't see, just because he wouldn't see things the way I see them now that I know the Lord. When I realized this, when God pointed it out to me, I wept. It was a hard pill to swallow. But it also became clear to me that I was hindering this person's faith because I wasn't reflecting to him Jesus because of the way I was treating him. So I've begun the process of changing my attitude towards my friend. There's years of healing that needs to happen, but I think we're starting down that road. There's still stumbles here and there, but I'm hopeful that someday we will be good friends once again. If I was not open to what God was going to reveal to me about that situation and my role in that relationship, I would have never made that connection because I thought I was in the right until God pointed it out to me. And I suspect if things had kept going the way they were, my friend and I probably would not even be on speaking terms today. Yeah, it was a tough pill to swallow, but one that needed to be taken in order for forgiveness to occur. The sixth step is to listen for how the Lord turned what was meant to be something evil into something good. Since I've been involved with church renewal, I've been hearing stories of set free retreats. And I've been hearing stories of people who have had huge burdens lifted from their shoulders and pain removed from their lives. They were stuff they were never meant to carry. They felt lighter, they felt stronger, they felt healed, they felt free. So often these stories are connected to something from their past that was meant to utterly destroy them. It's like the devil saw an opportunity in which they could feel like they were useless or unworthy or just find a way to keep them from ever experiencing joy in their life or freedom. But at Set Free, they realized that God doesn't want them to stay this way. In fact, God wants to use those negative things to help them and to also help others. I've heard stories of people coming out of Set Free retreats and going on to start different types of ministries based on their experiences, their pain, because they want to help other people get through those similar situations. Is there anything more freeing than helping someone overcome the same obstacles you have overcome? God can use experiences of pain and loss to heal other people. So we need to listen to see how God can take these negative things and turn them into positives, even if in a very small way. If we want to look at the life of Jesus, did he not take the pain and the death of the cross and turn it into something of joy? His death bought our freedom. There's no greater example of turning something evil into something good than Jesus on the cross. God wants to use your whole life to bring joy to others and bring hope to others. That includes your struggles. If God can do great things even in your moments of pain, don't you want the same for others? Even for the other person who has caused you pain? You do. You do because you want everyone to experience the joy and the freedom of living that you have received from God. You want everyone to see the joy you have being in relationship with God, your Father. Now that we've gotten through the first six steps, and this is not an overnight process, this is going to take time. And sometimes it takes a lot of time. But once we get through these six steps, now we're ready to help the person that actually offended us and forgive them. So which brings us to step seven. Step seven is where we pray for that other person. Luke 6:27-28 says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." So we need to pray for the person who offends us, hurts us. So you might say, well, what do I pray for? Well, what you pray for is you pray for exactly what you would want to pray for yourself. Exactly what you would pray for yourself. And I can't tell you what they are because every person and every situation is different. So I simply say, pray for the things that you would want prayed for yourself. Now, at some point, as you're praying for this other person, and it'll take time, God will make it clear to you that you do not need to pray for this person any longer. It could be days, it could be weeks, it could be years of praying for this other person daily. But when you get to this point, you will realize that you've actually probably forgiven this person. And you also realize you've probably realized healing in your own life. Likely healing from that has come from that event. And now we're at the eighth and final step. In this step, we go back to that same reading from Luke chapter 6. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. The final step is to bless and do good things to those who have offended us. And Jesus makes it clear there are three things we can be doing. We can do good to them. That means we treat them well and with respect and love. Second is we find ways in which we can bless them, maybe helping them out in their time of need. And finally, we pray for them. Not like in step seven, but more generally for their lives, praying for their family, praying for their work, praying God's blessing upon them, and anything else we may know about their lives which we can be praying for. Now, with those three things, we need to go to God in prayer and listen for which ones we need to do in this particular situation. In most cases, we can do all three. But in some cases, we can't. Such as experiences of serious abuse, sexual abuse, these sorts of things where we need proper boundaries to protect ourselves. So obviously, in those situations, some actions cannot be taken. But it's that's between you and God. But the thing is, I'm pretty sure prayer is always an option. We can always be praying for other people. It's always good, always appropriate. So if you're at the eighth step and you're still not sure if you have completely forgiven that person, keep doing the things God tells you to do in step eight. Because it's really hard to hold on to bitterness and anger when you're continually praying for and you're continually trying to bless another person. Like, how hard is it to hate someone when you keep trying to love them? Right? Eventually, your heart changes. Now, those are the eight steps that we need to take for forgiveness. Piece of cake, right? You've got it all memorized? No? Well, I did promise a memory tool. So here it is. And this is also going to take some practice to remember, and I don't quite have it all just mastered yet myself. So, Anthony, if you want to bring that up. C-C-O-Y-E-E-P-B. Makes sense, right? You got it now? Yeah? Good. We're done. No. Maybe we'll walk through it. So first we've got the C-C. The next one, Anthony. Here we go. So the first one, the first C. Well, CC, first of all, we know that from mail, right? We carbon copy someone on a mail. So we are CCing ourselves on the process. So the first C is we confess. We confess our unforgiveness. The second C is to choose. We must choose to stop replaying the story over and over and over again. We must choose to stop punishing the offender. And then we move on to the OE. This is where the meat of the work happens, because this is all done, these four are done in listening prayer with God. It's all spent there. And each of these is something we need to be praying about. We pray for the offender. And you know what? We could even be praying for ourselves in that step, because sometimes we need to forgive ourselves, don't we? So in this time of prayer, we're listening for what God is telling us about the person we need to forgive. The why is to pray for yourself. the one who has been hurt or let down, to see if you had any role to play in any of this. The first E is for the event. We need to pray to see where God was in all of this. And the second E is for the evil. We need to ask God how we can turn this negative into a positive. This thing that meant as evil into something for his glory. So that is the second E. And finally, we want all of this to stick, so we need some good old-fashioned PB, so we get out the peanut butter. The P is for prayer. That is, we're praying for the other person fervently, daily. And the B is to bless them, to do good things for them. Other ways in which we can help, to show them love. So there it is, CCOEPB. Okay, so that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue either. But we have been CC'd in this process. We have been carbon copied. We know we have a copy of what to do. So CC, O ye of little faith, peanut butter. CC, O ye of little faith, peanut butter. I have to give thanks to my friend, Reverend Kimberly Heath in Brockville. She came up with that little memory tool. And to be perfectly honest, I think she's the only one that could have come up with it. She's a very creative mind. But it's a silly little thing that hopefully will help us to remember. CC, O ye of little faith, peanut butter. So this is the end of our message on our series on forgiveness. I'll reiterate what I said in the previous two messages. If you need help with any of this, let me know. I'm more than happy to help you work through whatever it is you're dealing with. If things are too difficult because the incident is too painful, then slow down. Take time. Don't rush through it. Just go slow. And again, let me know and I can help. God wants you to know healing in your life. He wants you to remove all barriers which inhibit your life with Him. He wants you to be free. Holding on to the offense, holding on to the anger and the bitterness is the root of many problems in our lives. So we need to learn to let them go through a powerful encounter with God. This 8-step process that we just went through is a great tool to help you do just that because it's dependent on God the entire way. And God knows what is best for us. If we choose to hold on to that pain, then we're choosing to not forgive. And we're also choosing to keep an obstacle in our relationship between us and God. This creates a prison for us. A place in our lives that will continue to grow and fester, and it'll grow into like a great big weed that'll just get into everything. And we don't want that. God wants us to be free. Free from our pain, free from all the bondage in our lives, free from all the sin, so that we can get even closer to Him and receive the love, the grace, the mercy, and freedom that He has in store for us when we let Him into our lives fully. By releasing ourselves from the pain that we carry. I know some of you have told me you found this series to be helpful. And I know we're all carrying a certain amount of weight. Every one of us probably has someone we need to forgive. And again, that could even be ourselves. God wants to help us with that. He wants us to be set free so that we can live as His children. So don't be afraid of the journey. It will be hard at times. It may even cause us some anxiety to try and go there. Again, go slow. But no, in the end, we will realize the healing power of our God and be ready to take those next steps that He has for each and every one of us. So may God be with us on this journey. Let us pray. Jesus, You are the master of all that is good. You have shown us the incredible power of forgiveness, and we ask You to work with us through this long process of healing. if we struggle, if we fall and fail, help us to pick ourselves up again and start over. Maybe even leaning a little more on you for help as we go. Be with us, Lord Jesus, in all aspects of our lives, in joy and in pain, so we may share in your amazing grace. This we pray in your strong and powerful name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.